This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
US.com.
When breaking news happens, follow it here.
KJCE Rollingwood Austin. KKMJ HD2 Austin. Or anywhere you go at talk1370.com.
Talk 1370.
CBS News, I'm Pam Colter. Toxic, that's how many people view the political situation in the nation's capital. On tonight's 60 Minutes, President Obama agreed.
The corrosive nature of everything from talk radio to fake news to negative advertising has made people lack confidence in a lot of our existing institutions.
The way things are now, he said, it's very difficult for Republicans and Democrats to find common ground. Mr. Obama will have more free time after Friday when he becomes Citizen Obama.
I do not expect to be behind a desk a lot. I look forward to teaching the occasional class because I was a professor and I had fun doing it.
The political divide is glaring this week, with 24 House Democrats saying they will not attend Donald Trump's inauguration. Chief among them, Georgia Congressman and civil rights legend John Lewis, who said Russian hacking makes Mr. Trump an illegitimate president.
I'm Tom Foti. Days before Donald Trump's inauguration, and with Congressman John Lewis among a dozen or so Democrats now promising not to show up, Vice President-elect Pence tells Face the Nation.
I do hope that John Lewis will reconsider attending the inauguration.
From incoming White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus on NBC's Meet the Press.
It's shocking that Congressman Lewis, who is a civil rights icon, would actually question the legitimacy of an election in this country in starting this firestorm.
Which has also been fueled on Donald Trump's Twitter account. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
Noon this Friday, Hail to the Chief will be played for President Donald Trump. There was a full-scale inauguration rehearsal in the nation's capital today. Interviews with newspapers in the UK and Germany, Mr. Trump made comments that could make European allies nervous. He described NATO as obsolete and said the countries aren't paying what they're supposed to pay. He also suggested a deal with Russia would reduce nuclear arsenals and ease sanctions on Moscow. Russia's been under international sanctions for its actions in Crimea and the Ukraine. Drivers are being urged to stay off the roads in parts of Nebraska, Kansas, and elsewhere in the central U.S., where an ice storm has caused dangerously slick highways. workers at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City worked to get ice out of the stands, even as an ice storm warning was lifted. The storm left 11,000 customers without power in Oklahoma. An 18-year-old Camilla Mobley met her birth parents for the first time today. The South Carolina woman was abducted from a Florida hospital hours after she was born. She met her parents in Waterboro, 50 miles west of Charleston, where she was raised under a false name. 51-year-old Gloria Williams faces kidnapping charges. This is CBS News.
Talk 1370. The right choice.
The following is a paid commercial program. Views and opinions expressed are those of the host or their guests and are not necessarily those of Talk 1370 or Entercom Communications.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. Brought to you by MyPlates.com. Upgrade your license plate at MyPlates.com. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We're live here in Austin, Texas. Just watched our Cowboys lose. But that's all the football you're going to get on this show tonight because we're pretty fired up. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about. This is John Massengill, and I am joined in studio tonight by Tony Calderon. Tony, welcome back to Speed City.
Thank you. Happy to be back.
Well, we're excited to have you back. We got a lot to talk about. Jonathan Green is going to be joining us here in just a moment. He is down in New Zealand at the Toyota Racing Series. And Les Kaiser is not going to be on the show, but he's out in California. He actually caught up with the guys at ARC Motorcycle. You know, that's the team, that's the new American manufacturer that's run by Keanu Reeves. And he also caught up with a gentleman that's Keanu's partner, actually. And so we're going to have that interview as well. His partner's name is Gard Hollinger. And so we have that interview. We're going to have that later in the show. But Mr. Green, do we have you live from New Zealand, sir? Oh, I think we're going to have to get Jonathan back on. We're trying to get him Skyped in, but he's down there for the Toyota Racing Series. And we've had a lot of folks on talking about the Toyota Racing Series. And Tony, you've got one of your guys down there. Tony, let's introduce you, though. Tony is a race team manager, and you've got a bunch of race drivers that you manage. So who do you have down in at the Toyota Racing Series?
Yeah, that's right. We have one of our clients, Corey Enders, who's a young Texan driver from Houston. He's down there. He just had his first weekend there. He had a pretty successful weekend for a rookie driver. I mean, he was pretty quick. He had a sort of an up and down weekend, a couple of good races, and then some off races. But yeah, he's there. It's quite an exciting series down there. They basically get a full season of racing down in 5 weeks. So it's pretty cool. So yeah, he's definitely going to learn and come back and do F2000 when he comes back.
Yeah, Jonathan's done the television commentary for the Toyota Racing Series for, gosh, a number of years now. I don't know, 6 or 8 years, maybe more, and he's really got us up to speed on that. And it's amazing the drivers that have come through that thing. So this is a big deal, really, for young American drivers to get down there because there's Corey Enders and there's a couple other Americans. We'll get Jonathan to talk about those guys as well. And he's got some interviews from – they just completed the first weekend down there. So we'll be talking a lot about that. But let's also talk about what we're going to go over on the show tonight because there's some things going on. We've got, obviously, Valtteri Bottas in the news in Formula One because it looks like that deal for him to move to Mercedes is going to wrap up this week. And so we'll talk about that and the different angles on that. But also, big deal this week, Tony. We've got Liberty Media and the shareholder meeting. You know, we've talked about Liberty Media, how they bought into Formula One, but this hasn't really happened yet. It's not, the deal's not sealed until this Wednesday. And so they're having that shareholders meeting. That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, like I say, it hasn't happened yet. But more importantly, they're obviously, because it hasn't happened yet, we haven't seen the effects of it in Formula One, which I think are going to be big, you know, because it will sort of turn Formula One into, you know, the future, or which is what all the other series have done. Formula One's been a little old school as far as media and social media goes and, you know, how they interact with fans and all that. I think it's going to be a big change for them. And, yeah, I'm pretty interested in see what's going to happen with it because, obviously, when you have Bernie Ecclestone running things, you know, he's always done an amazing job with Formula One, but it's been pretty old school. So let's see what happens when some guys take over and they kind of, you know, turn into the 21st century.
I think you just summed that up pretty good. Bernie's done a great job, and you can't argue, but he's pretty old school. So that is a great assessment. And it's going to be not only interesting, but exciting, because if Liberty, you know, they have so many media companies under their umbrella, and they're an American company. And so if they do what we're expecting, there's no telling what they what might change and the rules could, to make it more interesting. But, you know, the topic came up again this week about another Formula One race in the United States, and in addition to Austin. And I saw some chatter on Twitter. I saw a conversation between a couple of guys on Twitter and somebody was saying about how it was that Austin had turned the corner, and how this year was, you know, we had 270,000 people. But I feel like here in Austin, especially, you know, like when I'm out, I'm always asking people, you know, what do you have you been to a race? I'll ask everything from waiters and waitresses and everything. So, and I'm amazed at how many people think that Formula One is gone, because you know, in the controversial way that Bernie negotiates in the press is what I call it. You know, he's saying, well, you know, I guess the United States is not going to be on the grid. You know, we haven't received their payment. It's like, why do you have to do that in the middle of the press? Because here in the United States, here in Austin, you know, the news stories, the news stations here, they pick up on it and go, wow, looks like we may not be on the grid or not be on the calendar this year. And we all who have followed it all know that that's just the way that Bernie's always done it. You know, it's very public in the way all those negotiations happen. And the fact that so many people say, oh, I thought it was done. I didn't realize it was still going to happen. And then I'll say, well, Taylor Swift came, and they'll go, oh, yeah, I remember that. So I don't know. Obviously, you travel the globe and all those things with race teams, but have you seen the same thing here in Austin?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody questions it every year now because it's been questionable every year. However, I feel like this is... It feels like it's been the most secure year. At least 17 feels like it's not in question anymore. Like, everybody thinks, like, yeah, it's happening. You know, if you see, like, a couple of years ago, like, it wasn't even confirmed in the calendar.
Yeah.
You know, it was... Now it seems like, you know, it will happen. I think having Taylor Swift here was definitely kind of a... It was a game that Coda played, for sure, but it worked out. I mean, they had a big crowd, and it seems like ticket sales went well, and it's all about politics at the end of the day, right? Like, is a state going to support with their subsidy of the event? But it seems like everything sounds good right now, because it was a good event. We had, like, say, you said, over 200,000 people, so hopefully we're good to go for a few more years, and if one will come here, and whether they will go somewhere else. I know Las Vegas is rumored to perhaps be on the schedule amongst others. I know for sure people are working on it. I hope it happens. You know, we need more Formula One in the U.S., and the more races we have, I think the more it will raise the exposure of it. And I think having another race in the U.S. will only help Austin. It won't hurt at all.
So. Well, we had several people on the show with varying opinions on that. I don't know where I stand on that. Honestly, I don't know. But I will bet you one thing, though, is that the controversy about COTA and whether it was going to happen, yes, I agree. It's probably going away. But I don't think it'll ever go away. We have this fantastic piece of concrete out there. No matter what happens, especially when you get an ownership of the entire series by Liberty, I just think no matter what would happen, that track is going to host Formula One. And right now, it's the only purpose-built track for it. I just feel like it's going to happen continuously, and somebody's going to make that happen. So I think that controversy's gone, in my mind, at least. Whether or not the Taylor Swift thing will continue, who knows? Maybe that's the way some other places around the world. I know some of them do similar things with big festivals, but it definitely worked for us. But let's talk about the Valtteri Bottas story, because that's a big one for... it's a big one. It's a huge story. And I feel like this week is when it's going to happen. I mean, there's been talk about an announcement by Claire Williams and Mercedes saying, you know, the rumors have gotten awfully quiet. So it feels like that this is a done deal. Just has to be signed by the ink and ink the paper. Don't you agree?
Yeah. I mean, it seems like it. I mean, now, it's basically Bottas. There's really no other big candidates for it. I mean, maybe Verlaine, but from everything we hear, unless we hear a surprise, it'll be Bottas, and he's probably the right guy to be there. You know, they need he's very quick, yet he's not a huge name as obviously Rosberg was or is. So I think that it sort of sets the stage for Mercedes to have kind of what they want, a number one and number two driver, you know, which depends who you ask. That's the right thing, the right way to do it or not the right way to do it. But I think it's going to happen. And it's just a matter of, like, I think they're just lining up their PR to figure out when they announce it.
So what's your opinion on that? You know, having that clear number, obviously in this case, we'd have a clear number one driver in Lewis Hamilton and Bottas as a number two driver. You know, the strategy, obviously you can't argue with what they've been doing. They've won the championship now 2 years in a row and it's worked. So, you know, would you typically as a race team manager and an advisor, do you recommend that, or does it depend on who the drivers are, depend on the situation?
I mean, I think when I was here last time, I said, like, I'd rather have two top guys. Now, I'm not saying that Bottas isn't a top guy. I think he'll be probably just as quick as Lewis, maybe, you know. When it comes to that last tenth, maybe Lewis will be a little bit quicker. He just has more experience and stuff. In my opinion, you got to have two guys fighting each other, you know, pushing. Hopefully, Mercedes won't go the route of sort of picking one over the other, because I think that... it's not the right way to do it. You know, you want to have them pushing each other and getting the most out of it. So it'll be interesting. But obviously in F1, it's always worked like that. You know, most times, you know, you have your Schumacher and Barrichello, or, you know, there's so many other examples where having a number one guy works. But I don't know. I think I'd love to have something like we had, like, this last year with Rosberg and Hamilton just fighting each other, because especially if that's the only team that's winning races, at least you want to have some kind
of
competition.
That's a good point.
If not, it might be kind of boring.
That is a good point. If we're not going to have anybody giving them any competition, so there's been all kinds of rumors about different teams being able to give them some competition this year. What do you think? You think anybody's going to get any even close to Mercedes this year?
I mean, it's hard to tell. Obviously, If things are going to change, it will be this year, because the regulations are changing quite a bit with the cars. You know, it's sort of a new car. I mean, the powertrain isn't changing much, so that won't be a big difference. But at least the aero, tires, and, you know, there's a lot of things that are changing. So I'm hoping, obviously, Red Bull, Ferrari, McLaren, hopefully those guys can step it up. And because it's a new car, they can start from scratch and be on the same level playing field. But I mean, there's no doubt, I'm sure Mercedes will still be the team to beat, even the way finances work. You know, they have the most money, and they have they're coming up, you know, they have a lot of momentum, so I'm sure it'll be tough. I mean, even for India, you know, they were quite strong at the end of the year, so I know, I hope so.
It's true.
I hope so. It's not just another Mercedes show.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and take a break, but when we come back, one of the things we're going to talk about is, since Tony's here, and, I mean, Tony manages drivers, everybody from Esteban Gutierrez to, like, Will Owen, like you said, and partner, James Hinchcliffe is one of your partners in the firm, right?
Yeah, that's right.
In Speed Group. So, obviously, Tony has got some amazing insights, and we're going to tap his brain tonight, because I want to get some of that inside baseball that we all wonder about, how some of this stuff works behind the scenes, and that's some of the stuff we're going to talk about with Tony this evening. So, we're going to go ahead and take a break. You're listening to Speed City Live from Austin, back after these messages.
The 57 Chevy, a Rembrandt painting, the little black dress. When you're a classic, you never go out of style. And now, MyPlates.com proudly announces the return of the classic black Texas license plate for the first time since 1968, featuring a cooler, timeless look and a bolder style. Visit MyPlates.com today to order this legendary classic black Texas license plate for your car or truck. Classic Black is back at MyPlates.com.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas, with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. with hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself. Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in Danny Z leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built.
Ducati.
Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at MotoAustin.com.
There's nothing like getting on a motorcycle and exploring the hill country for the day. What about taking that bucket list ride of a lifetime to some far-off destination or event? We're here to tell you that you don't have to own a motorcycle, because with Lone Star Moto Rentals, you can rent a Ducati, BMW, KTM, or other premium motorcycles. Visit LoneStarMotoRentals.com. That's LoneStarMotoRentals.com. And come ride.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hey, it's Patrick Lindsay driving the Park Place Motorsports Porsche, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City. We're here in Austin, Texas, and we have been talking a little bit about Formula One and Toyota Racing Series, and we're joined in studio tonight by Tony Calderon of the Speed Group. Tony, give us a little bit more about your background. I can try, but you do it better than me.
Thanks. I've been racing my whole life, basically. Long story short, I own a company called Speed Group alongside James Hinchcliffe, IndyCar driver, who everybody knows now, also Dancing with the Stars semifinalist, and David Martinez. And we basically manage drivers. We help racing teams and a bunch of other people, sort of like we're sort of racing consultants. We help you win races. That's what we like to say. So yeah, we do things all over this place: Formula One, World Endurance Championship, IMSA, IndyCar, kind of all over the place.
That's awesome. So let's talk about some of the things that I was telling when Tony got here tonight, right before the show. I was like, hey, I want to talk about, you know, kind of inside baseball stuff and get some of the things that you guys have to deal with, you know, is helping drivers win races and helping teams win races. And just in passing, I had dinner with Zach Brown the other night. I was like, you did? Incredible. So talk about why you had dinner with him, which is really cool for one of your drivers, and maybe a little bit of some scoop for us. How about that?
Yeah, it's quite exciting. One of our drivers, Will Owen, who came up in the Mazda Road to Indy, basically, so the IndyCar ladder system. He was doing F2000 and then Pro Mazda, and then we decided that it was probably time for him to not pursue an IndyCar career anymore and pursue a sports car career for many reasons, mostly because it's just very tough to make it to IndyCar. It's very expensive, and there's very few spots, just like it is.
Just like F1.
F1. And so I started looking at some sports cars options for him. Obviously, I've been very involved with sports cars in the World Endurance Championship and Le Mans and all that, because I've been managing a team called RGR Sport. And long story short, an opportunity came up with United Autosport, which is a team that Zach Brown owns alongside Richard Dean. Obviously, everybody knows Zach Brown now from McLaren, but he, I guess, on the side, you could say he's been growing his own team for a long time. So we got in touch with them, and Will had he tested actually for RGR Sport in Bahrain at the rookie test for the World Endurance Championship. He did a great job, and after that, United really wanted to have him. So we managed to get him a deal with them, and so 2 days ago we got, or 5 days ago we got to go to the UK. There was the Autosport Motorsports Convention over there. And Zach Brown and his team had a big display there, because they're the representatives for the Ligier cars in the UK. So anyway, long story, we got to announce Will's deal with them. He's going to race the European Le Mans Series and the 24 Hours of Le Mans with them. So we got to had dinner with Zach and his partner and just kind of get to know him. It was very special. Obviously, Zach is probably, I think I just saw an article today, he's the busiest man in motorsports. I mean,
yeah.
he runs McLaren, he runs the Motorsports Network, which owns Autosport, which owns motorsports.com. He runs his own team. I mean, it was quite an honor to be able to just kind of hang out with him and
pick
his brain and just kind of, you know, see what McLaren's up to and what everybody's up to. It was quite special.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And I just love it that you're getting Americans. Where's Will Owen from? Colorado?
Yes, he's from Denver, Colorado, but he actually goes to school at TCU, so he lives in Dallas right now.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I remember that now. So, hey, you know what? I think the producer just said that we've got Mr. Jonathan Green tapped into from New Zealand from halfway around the globe, so we got to grab him while we got a connection to talk about the Toyota Racing Series. Mr. Green, how's it going?
Good. Can you hear me?
Maybe not.
Hey, can you hear me?
Now we got you. How's it going, man?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing awesome. We were just chatting it up about Tony's. He's been a busy boy lately, but we got to hear about the Toyota Racing Series while we got a good connection with you.
Okay. Well, we just had the first round in Christchurch. We just came back actually last night. Very windy, but great racing. And I think we won championship this year because the defending champion, Lando Norris, didn't return.
Well, hey, Jonathan, you cut out just a little bit there. I'm not sure we're going to be able to get the connection to work tonight, but we do have all those interviews you brought in. Tell us about the three guys that you sent interviews with.
Yeah, I mean, basically the story of the first weekend was about the Kiwis and the Aussies because Marcus Armstrong from New Zealand won the first race. Thomas Randall of Australia won the second race. And Brendan Leach has come back to try to take on the rest of the world without the kind of practice, if you will, that the rest of them have had in terms of race pace because he doesn't get to do anything but the New Zealand Championship. So there's been some good fairy tale stories, especially 16-year-old Marcus Armstrong.
Well, I know how exciting it is to be down there in the middle of that, Jonathan. I know you've done it for several years, and it's really cool to watch these young drivers come through. And I think I want to go ahead and try to play one of these interviews right now. Let's go ahead and play the clip from Thomas Randall that you were just talking about him. Let's hear from Thomas Randall.
Okay, Speed City fans, I'm delighted to be here with Thomas Randall of Australia, who has just competed in the first round from Christchurch of the Toyota Racing Series and had a pretty eventful weekend. One minute you're up there and you thought you were just off the podium, the next minute you've won the race. So you won race two and you're only 3 points off leading the championship at the moment.
Hey, look, it's been a great first weekend, and thank you, Jonathan, for having me here. I didn't really know what to expect after qualifying. It wasn't really the qualifying we were hoping for because we had so much pace in Thursday and Friday. We finished up Friday P2 in the sheets, and then to qualify fifth and seventh wasn't really where we wanted. But the first race, I managed to make up one position off the start, which was good, with the fourth position, and it's all about points being prizes. And in the second race, we got finished third across the line, moved out to first, which is awesome to be my first TRS win. And then in the final race, we finished fifth. And so we'll go into the next round with a clear head, and we'll see what we can do.
You've come off a good season in Formula 3 in the UK. You got a couple of wins under your belt. How does this championship compare? And I know you were here last year, but how does it compare to racing in Europe?
Well, racing in Europe, you're actually racing against the same sort of competition. So when I did the full championship the first time in 2015, I'd only ever raced Formula Ford in Australia, so I didn't really know what to expect. And then racing in Britain last year, it familiarised me with the different driving styles of different drivers, and it's very similar to what I'm seeing here. So driving that British F3 car, which is very similar actually to the Tatis Toyota FT50 chassis, has definitely helped, and I think it's really helped me for this weekend as well.
What about your ambitions? Everybody here is looking to the future. You've already settled what you're doing next year, and that's an exciting prospect.
Yeah, I mean, my dream was always Formula 1, but you got to look realistically. And the way that the 21st century is going in terms of motorsport. I think endurance racing is really getting up there. You know, it's a 24-hour Le Mans is now like a sprint race, and a Formula One race is a one-hour endurance race. So you can look at the two, I guess, as apples and oranges.
Well, listen, you've had a great start. You're only 3 points off the lead, and you had to Invercargill with your tail up. And so more of the same?
Yeah, I didn't actually know where I was in the championship, but 3 points, gosh, that's not much. So it's a great way to start the championship, and we'll see if we can just get a bit more pace out of the car and myself going into Teretonga.
Best of luck.
Thank you very much, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Okay, hey, so Jonathan, I think we got a good connection now. I want you to tell us, I mean, obviously we had some Americans down there too, and they didn't have the greatest of weekends, but what Americans do we have down there?
Well, we have Shelby Blackstock, the who was on the show, of course, a couple of weeks ago, who is an Indy Lights protagonist. He was complaining over Twitter and to me that he now realizes just how tough qualifying is. I mean, how important qualifying is, because he found himself in the midfield and got himself into quite a few knots and twists, including in race two, coming together with Kivyan Andres, one of the other Americans. There's three in total. So that led to a very upset Andres in race two. And Corey Enders, well, as Tony has already said, you know, it's a learning curve for him. And I think it was a bit of a baptism of fire. But actually, he's done pretty well. He was involved in a couple of things. But, you know, he's kept his nose clean. He's, I think, 17th overall after the first round. But I think for him, it's all about track time and over 3,000 kilometers of racing for him in the next 5 weeks. So we're looking towards all the Americans improving. But all of them loving the car and loving the circuits.
Hey, Jonathan, is the car this year, I mean, what are the changes in that Toyota Racing Series in the car year to year? Is it kind of an incremental thing every year?
No, the car's the same. It's the third year of the FT50, which is 800 cc's. It puts out about 214 brake horsepower. Tony will subscribe to this. It's kind of in between Mazda Pro and Indy Lights, and in formula terms in Europe, it's between Formula 3 and Formula Renault. So those with that kind of experience are able to adapt themselves. So it's kind of a combination. If you can drive a Formula 3 car, you can certainly drive this. And if you're coming straight out of karting, it doesn't take long to get up to speed. But it's still a proper slicks and wings racing car that's capable of over 230k, and it's got 214 brake horsepower.
All right, well, that helps, definitely kind of puts it in your head there where it falls in between all the different series. But what are the other big stories, Jonathan? I want to before we let you go, though, I want to pick your brain about some of the things that Tony and I were talking about. But any other big stories coming out of the Toyota Racing Series before we move on?
Well, yeah, I mean, you mentioned Vitaly Bottas, and of course, it's a graduate from this Toyota Racing Series 2 years ago, Canada's Lance Stroll, who is in the Williams team now. I think picking up on what Tony said, I think actually Mercedes are very lucky that Valtteri Bottas is with Williams, because Williams are probably the only team in form that would allow a driver to swap teams for the benefit of the driver, because they've done it over the years. They've always let young drivers from Jenson Button all the way through go on to bigger and better, because they are a small team. So I think they've got lucky that they've got a talent like Vitaly Bottas in a position that Claire Williams is willing to effectively give him up, because she could have said no. But in terms of the Toyota Racing Series, the big stories are we've got three juniors from the Formula One ranks, i.e. Sahara Force India with Jahandar Ruvala, who won the third race yesterday. He's right up there. We've got Marcus Armstrong from New Zealand, who's now representing the Ferrari junior team. But the man leading the championship, and it's almost like a double take, is a guy called Richard Verschoor from the Netherlands. And he is a Red Bull junior. Now, work it out. It'll happen when he's in it. And, of course, the car is Red Bull liveried. And he's another fantastic talent who's come out of nowhere. And this was his first time in the car. And after three races, at 16, just in December, he's leading the championship.
Oh, that's awesome. I did see that Red Bull car. And in fact, just at a quick glance, I mean, it's obviously a Formula car, open wheel car. It looks very reminiscent of the Formula One Red Bull cars, for sure. But, well, hey, Jonathan, stick with us because we're going to try to keep you on the line. But we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to let Tony talk a little bit more about some of his some of the things that he does to help race teams and race drivers win. Listen to Speed City live in Austin, back after a quick break.
I am an official Texas license plate from MyPlates.com, and I'm here to say it's time to get personal, people. Tell the world who you are with a personalized plate from MyPlates.com, like me. I'm talking favorite color, favorite team, favorite charity, and, of course, favorite state, Texas. Add your own message, and then the magic really happens. I'm the official Texas license plate from MyPlates.com, and I want to be your license plate. Go to MyPlates.com and order me today. Now that's what I'm talking about.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
Want to drive your car at speed on Circuit of the Americas? Edge Addicts is your source for more COTA events and more COTA track time. Whether you're looking to host your own event or just be a part of the action, Edge Addicts can get you in the driver's seat and racing like a pro. All levels of drivers and all types of cars are welcome, with instructors available for first-time and novice drivers. Life is short and adventure is around every corner, so plan your high-adrenaline experience with Edge Addicts at edgeaddicts.com. Edge Addicts, it's better when you're driving.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride. Or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Since the presidential salary isn't being used...
I'm accepting no salary, okay? That's not a big deal for me.
Why not take a page from the Liberals' playbook and redistribute the wealth to you? It's the $1,000 presidential payoff on Talk 1370. Listen for your handout weekdays at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m.
Do you want to make more money?
One randomly selected national entry wins $1,000 every time we play.
The $1,000 presidential payoff, weekdays on Talk 1370. You've made the right choice. Talk 1370.
Hi, this is Ryan DL, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City. You're smiling when you heard Ryan DL, Tony.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine.
I figured you probably knew him. Well, hey, let's take this opportunity. I don't know if we're going to get Jonathan back on because it was cutting out so bad from New Zealand. We'll try here in a second, but I want to ask you about some inside stuff that I keep calling it inside stuff. But what are the things that you do that are the most effective or the most interesting things to really help teams and race drivers win? I know that's a big question.
That's a big question, yeah, for sure. No, I mean, what we do at Speed Group is we sort of like define it three different things. One of the things we got to do is, first of all, we got to teach drivers how to drive, the coaching aspect of it. So, you know, how do you drive a car fast, basically? And how do you become a race car driver? You know, how do you deal with your engineers? You know, just literally learning the craft, let's say. The second thing is, how do you promote your brand? So that's really more about social media, PR, marketing, all that stuff. And then the third thing is the management of your career. So as a sports agent, like what we did with Will, can we find you a good opportunity with a team like United Autosport that's going to be racing at Le Mans? Or can, you know, where are you in your career? Where do you need to go? What's the right path? What's the wrong path? You know, what should you do? Because, you know, obviously, it's no secret that being in racing takes a lot of money. You need a lot of either personal money or sponsorship money or anything to get ahead. so we kind of help you, you know, manage that budget, let's say. So it's tough. I mean, it racing, you know, to be successful, it's a combination of things. Sadly, it's not like maybe in perhaps other sports where you're really good at throwing a ball or, you know, or running or whatever, where you can just do it in high school and then somebody, and you get results and then that you move up to college and then you move to professional. Sadly, it doesn't work in racing. You got to have the funds to make it happen. You know, fuel isn't free. Tires aren't free. You know, mechanics aren't free. So you got to be able to show your talent, you got to be able to have some resources. So we can help you just make the most of that, basically. It's not easy, because even if you have the money, then you got to figure out how to spend it wisely, you know, yeah, not waste it, basically.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know that there's Jonathan talks about it all the time, that, you know, even at Formula One levels, there's a lot of race drivers that could, well, like, let's use Mercedes as an example. There's probably a more than a handful that could probably step into that seat and come close to what you just described a minute ago, where they may not be that last, the very last 99.9 percentile as fast as Lewis Hamilton, but Bottas may be pretty close, and probably a pretty good handful of drivers that could, you know, once you reach that level. So the same thing each level down is that it is more than just being able to drive fast. It's having the connections, making a smart hire of a company like yours. So it's very complex. You know, one thing I didn't realize that you guys did was actually help them in the driving side, and like you said, in the craft. How do you do that?
Yeah, well, I mean, Corey Enders is a great example. He's in New Zealand right now. Like I said, Jonathan said, it's a learning experience for him. But this is pretty much his first racing season that he's done, and I think he qualified 11th for one of the races out of 20, which is quite impressive, considering
for a rookie,
he probably has a tenth of the experience that the other guys have there. What we've done with him is, you know, we've been coaching him at MSR Houston, which is a track near here. I deal more with the management side of things, but my partners, David Martinez and James Hinchcliffe, obviously they're very successful race car drivers. We actually literally show you, I mean, it's not magic. You can't just get in a car and drive. Obviously, you know, of course there's some natural talent that goes to it, but you gotta know what to do, you know, how to brake. There's a certain technique for braking, for cornering, for getting back in throttle. How do you, your feedback that you give to your engineers, you know, there's a lot to that. So we take drivers and we literally show them from like step one, okay, this is how you drive a race car, just like you would coach somebody, this is how you throw a football, this is, yep, you know, there's different techniques, and it's not only in the car, but it's all outside the car. We do a lot of sim stuff as well, with simulations. Obviously driving a race car is expensive, so for every hour that our drivers are in a race car, they spend 20 hours in the sim with our coaches, because we can do that remotely, which is great also. So somebody can be in, yeah, their house in Georgia, like one of our drivers, Theo Bean, he'll be in Georgia, but our coaches are in Houston or Indianapolis or wherever, and they can literally do a real-time coaching session online through sim racing. So, yeah, I mean, it's not magic. You got to teach somebody how to do it, and it's that's what it takes.
Yeah, and I took years ago, just for fun, I took the a 3-day racing school at Skip Barber, and yeah, there was a lot of track time, but there was a lot of classroom time back then. It wasn't sims, they didn't have those, they might have them now, who knows, but there was a lot of classroom time where you literally were, they talked about everything from, like you said, braking, but, you know, practicing where is the apex, because some tracks, it's not as clear where the apex is with multiple, you know, you got multiple turns within one turn, and where is each apex?
So I guess that can change depending on the type of car you're driving too.
Oh yeah.
You have downforce or not downforce, the speed, all that. Yeah. So it's, there's a lot of theory that goes into it that you need to learn somehow. You can't just, like I said, the feeling of it can come naturally, but at the end of the day, just like any other sport, you got to have somebody just teach you the basics, at least, or the theory of it, so you can get fast at it.
Yeah, that's funny. I bet you a lot of people think that a lot of race driving is just so much, you know, it's all talent, talent, talent. But if you look at all the most successful at the highest level, a lot of these guys started when they were 5, 6, 7, 8 years old karting, and have made a complete lifetime career, just like, you know, we were talking about NFL, just like football. starting at Pop Warner and going all the way up. So it's a huge amount of practice. And
yeah, because also at the end of the day, driving fast is not all it takes to win a race. You got to learn how to make the car go fast, you know, how to set up the car with the engineers, how to manage the tires, you know, because if you go, for example, if we can see in this Formula One or in the World Endurance Championship or almost any other, even NASCAR, if you go just kind of like balls out for a couple laps, you'll kill your tires. That's
yep.
Being fast for two laps is not the same as being fast for 30 laps. You know, you got to know how to manage that, and that there's no way you can just sort of, you know, guess that. There's, you have to learn it and you have to have experience with it, and you got to have somebody guiding you through it. Basically.
Yeah, it's fascinating that there's so many aspects to what you do and getting a driver to that point. You know, at the highest levels, like Formula One, we always think of the money, and because that is a huge part of that. I remember when before, I'm thinking in IndyCar, and I've watched several drivers, you know, make it to IndyCar. It was fascinating to watch Alexander Rossi, and like, but Connor Daly, we ran into him so many times here in Austin when he would come to the Formula One race, not as a driver, obviously, at that point. But he really, really got frustrated, and he got frustrated on the air with us a couple of times, like, I can't find a sponsor, and I can't get there. And it was obviously that there is a process, and you guys walking them through that kind of process. But obviously you have to deal with the frustration from drivers like that. How do you, you know, what do you get, what do you do to help the drivers when in situations like that?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's always, it's painful sometimes because like I said, talent is not enough in racing, unfortunately. Maybe one of these days will be, and it has been in certain situations, but it's not always. So yeah, I mean, you got to show them like, look, it's not only what you do on track, it's what you do off track as well. You gotta be, yeah, you gotta win races, but you also have to be, you got to be good with your social media. You got to be good with sponsors. You got to be good with the fans. I mean, I think personally, my partner, James Hinchcliffe, is probably one of the best at it. I always say, you know, somehow he apparently he's an amazing dancer as well. So now he's famous among the mainstream fans, you could say, because he was in Dancing with the Stars. But the reason he got to that is because also he's been so good with his own personal PR and the whole, you know, he's the mayor of Hinchtown, all that. That started, you know, when he started the Hinchtown thing is when actually me, him, and David, were nobody knew who we were or who he was. And he's like, I'm going to come up with this crazy thing. I'm going to be the mayor of my own makeup website town. And everybody thought it was crazy. But lo and behold,
it worked.
It worked. And obviously, he backed that up with obviously being a very good race car driver. He's won races and all that. But yeah, you have to be. It's you have to be well-rounded. You got to do everything.
You know, that what you talked about him being a good dancer, that leads into something else, is that these guys are amazing athletes. What people don't realize is that, they're sitting driving a car, but especially the higher up the chain they go. I mean, we've talked to Alexander Rossi about the amazing diet, the scientific nature of his diet, the workout regimen, you know, the crazy neck exercises, the... And all kinds of training, but these guys have to be amazingly dedicated to their craft from a physical standpoint too, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's. I think some people just think like, I just drive a car fast. Like, no, I mean the G forces involved with driving an Indy car or an F1 car. I mean, you're talking like 5-6 G's and braking or cornering, and also the cardio involved, because you know there's really no other sport where you can you can't just take a tenth of a second. As a timeout or something like that,
you know, take a break. Yeah,
like I said, we're just watching football. You can take a break and you kind of like clear your head and think about it. In racing, you can't. 1/10 of a second is 100 yards or more.
Yeah.
So if you don't have the right cardio, you start getting distracted. You know, if your muscles aren't strong enough, you start getting tired. And it's quite important. Actually, one of the days you guys should have Jim Leo from PitFit. It's a company in Indianapolis. He pretty much trains about half of the IndyCar race car drivers, and he has very specific training regimes, let's say, specifically for racing. So they know exactly what you need for your neck to be strong, for your arm, upper body, for your legs, for braking, and your reaction times and all that. It's very scientific, and like I said, most of the race car drivers, they're running marathons, they're doing Ironmans and all that.
A lot of cycling.
It's pretty impressive how fit they are, for sure.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to take another quick break, and Jonathan Green just popped back on Skype, so we're going to try to get him back on here in a second. And we'll make this a fast break. Listen to Speed City live from Austin. Back after these messages.
welcome to name your license plate. I'm Biff Biffington. All right, Mary Lou, for the cash, the trip, and a new car, name your license plate.
Easy. My plate is ADD24. ACL, ATM, ABC, ACDC, AAA. I can't remember my plate.
You should have gotten a personal Texas plate from MyPlates.com. They're so memorable.
And I could have saved 40% with a 5-year commitment.
Be a winner and order your personalized license plate from MyPlates.com.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
The racetrack. It's where legends are born. Where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin, exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey. Because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road.
On air, online, and on your smart device. Talk 1370 is the right choice.
Hey everyone, I'm Steve Arpin, drive the Jacob Company's Ford Fiesta for Lone Bro Chip Ganassi Racing. You're listening to Speed City.
And he's an enthusiastic gentleman. Bring us back from the break. So we're here with Tony Calderon from the Speed Group. And, you know, Tony, we got the 24 Hours of Daytona coming up. You were out there for the Roar, right?
Yes, that's right. I was there last week, basically, for the pre-test. And it was quite good. It's going to be an interesting year. There's brand new cars with the DPIs and the LMP2s. And, yeah, it's been quite exciting. I have a young driver out there, Jose Gutierrez, who's racing. So I was kind of helping him out. And I'll be there next week for the race.
Awesome. Yeah, we talked a lot about the new Cadillac, man. That I mean, the Mazda looks good, too. But something about the way that Cadillac looks at DPI, I just thought it was an amazing-looking race car. And I love the fact that they've got a big V8 in it. I know it's got a big, fat restrictor plate on it, too, apparently with a balance of performance.
Nobody wants to say this, but we're all pretty sure the Cadillac's the fastest car out there, even though they've been kind of sandbagging a little bit during testing.
Okay, there you go.
That's what we all think.
See, that's some of that scoop I'm looking for right there.
You know, it's the game that you play. They don't want to be quick yet because they'll slow them down. But I'm pretty sure I will make a prediction right now that the Cadillacs will be on pole and will win the race. One of the three. There's three Cadillacs out there.
Yeah,
so.
That's nice. All
but
right.
You wouldn't be able to see that from the timesheet so far, but I think we're all aware that they got a lot in the back, yeah.
Hey, it sounds like we got Jonathan Green back on the line from New Zealand at the Toyota Racing Series. Jonathan, so you got another 4 weeks of excitement going on down there. You're just 1 week in, right?
Yeah, we just started. We're editing the program up now, and you can see it on Motor Trend On Demand. So you can tune in the States and see what we're doing. But we've got a full 4 more weeks of great racing. In fact, we're heading south on Thursday to Invercargill, which is noted for being the southernmost international circuit in the world. And it's right on the tip of the South Island of New Zealand. So it's pretty cool, but it's always raining. So I think we'll put those Americans to the full test, I think, next weekend.
Awesome. Well, Jonathan, we got the signal cut out again a little bit, but I think we're gonna let you run, and I want to wrap up with this interview that Les Kaiser did out in California at the ARC Motorcycle. So, Jonathan, we'll make sure we get a good connection from New Zealand next time, and appreciate you getting a spot for us.
No worries. See you soon.
All right. All right, well, speaking of that, let's play a little bit of that interview that we did. That Les Kaiser's out in California. He caught up with with Gard Hollinger of the new ARC motorcycle. I say new, it's a couple of years now, but this is Keanu Reeves. Yes, that Keanu Reeves, the Hollywood actor. Tony and I were joking about, he was like, he's starting his motorcycle company. I was like, yeah, that's, what's the old saying? How do you turn a, how do you make a small fortune in the racing business? You start with a large fortune.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, who knows? I mean, it's a really cool, badass motorcycles he's making. And I wish him all the best. And it's really an exciting project because they really are amazing. And Les was just frothing at it. So let's hear a little bit of that interview from Gard Hollinger.
All righty. It's always fun when we get out and catch up with something new and exciting. And by all means, Arch Motorcycles is new and exciting. Taking the world by storm, these are not a mass production bike, but you know, it's got a very cool history. We're going to start out with meeting Gard Hollinger. Gard is one of the ones that really kind of was one of the pair that started. Gard, welcome to Speed City.
Good morning, Les. Welcome to Arch Motorcycle Company.
Man, this is a great way to start the morning. No coffee required here. So let's just go to the beginning. How did this start? I hear there's a unique story about a sissy bar.
The beginning story, the sissy bar story. So a friend of mine asked me if I was interested in building a sissy bar for a motorcycle Keanu Reeves was doing some work on, and I said no. And of course, Keanu tells a story better than I do, but it wasn't really about being snobbish. It was about life is short, and I wanted to you know, spend my time doing more creative things. I knew it wasn't going to be, you know, satisfying for a customer or my business to spend my time building a sissy bar. But there was an introduction based on that, and Keanu saw what I did, and then he said, "Well, what can we do to my motorcycle?" And over about a 4-year process, we built this one-off motorcycle out of his 2005 Harley Dyna, and he was very involved in the process. It was kind of a unique project for me because it was you know, sort of taking, like, listening to what it was he wanted the motorcycle to do and then trying to design something that had the design aesthetic that, you know, that I was sort of known for in my chop rods business, and put it into this really usable, rideable package. And as that started to take shape, then there was some discussion about, well, maybe we need to make some more of these for the world. And then in late 2011, early 2012, after that motorcycle was done and we'd ridden it and felt, you know, how unique it was to ride, you know, this big sort of American V-twin hot rod, but that would handle, then Keanu talked me into starting Arch Motorcycle.
That's probably not a bad pairing, and definitely gives an idea of the embryonic state that this started in. So, you know, I'm loving seeing the varieties and the subtlety of differences between so many of these bikes here in the showroom. And one of the things that I find unique is I won't say that you're a mass producer, but you are a very high-quality builder, building a bike specifically for someone. You know, you showed me one and talked about the measurements of the rider and how they like to sit and getting it all situated for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think this idea of a custom production motorcycle company is sort of unique. So, I mean, a lot of manufacturers either, you know, if you look at the high-end automotive world, I think, you know, they have their, like, custom departments, Ferrari, Lamborghini, McLaren, these kind of companies. But we really are based around the idea of each motorcycle is built on this proven platform that works, but each one is unique and built for the customer. So there's never going to be two alike. Even if you happen to point to one you've seen and you want that, we're going to try to figure out how to make it you know, unique to you by changing something. And it starts with the ergonomics, you know, so we have a discussion with the customer about what type of riding they like to do and the riding position, and then that's fine-tuned to them. Each seat is shaped to the customer, and then, of course, all of the finishes and you know, the livery and that type of thing are done personally for them as well.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed here, I had the great opportunity to come through your production area where you've got your machines and CNC, and I'm seeing the finished components that are going into these. You don't see that very often happening here in the United States, and for one, thank you for doing that here.
Well, that's a pretty cool deal, really. That's very exciting. I can't. I can only imagine how excited Les is out there doing that. But and remember, their website is archmotorcycle.com. You got to check it out because it's really supposed to be a big American powerful bike that handles too. So it's really exciting. But while I've got you, Tony, I want to talk about a couple of things you got going on. Obviously, Esteban Gutierrez is one of your clients, and he's got a new project going on, new gig, right?
Yeah, that's right. Obviously, he's had a long career, a good career in Formula One, 3 or 4 years, and now, unfortunately, that didn't pan out, but he just announced that he's going to be racing in Formula E, which is quite exciting. Obviously, Formula E is growing like crazy. They just had a huge, sim race in Las Vegas, which is quite interesting, with $1 million prize, which kind of crazy. Has never been done before.
We talked about that last week. That's amazing.
Yeah, so he still has to announce the details of it, but he'll be now a Formula E driver, which is amongst a bunch of other ex-Formula One drivers and current WEC drivers and a bunch of people. So yeah, it's quite exciting. We're really excited to sort of help him promote that from now on.
Yeah, that's going to be it's going to be fun to watch the growth of Formula E. And I noticed they had the fan boost that was a little controversial in the sim world. I when they first started talking about fan boost, I was like, okay, it's a way to get the fans involved. Jonathan and Les were both like, I hate this. And now I think I'm with them. I don't like the fan boost. Think of another way to get the fans involved, but having it affect the race. I see your face. You may be disagreeing, but I'm against it now.
I mean, I think it's a cool way. I mean, you know, they're trying to make it way more interactive. I mean, you see in football, you have fantasy football, and in many other sports, you have a way of fans to get involved. I mean, why not? If it's a way to get the fans involved, I'm all about it. I mean, at the end of the day, it's still something a driver has to do. They got to press a button. They got to make the most of it. So I have no problem with it. I mean, it's it's a little artificial, but hey, it's we gotta get more fans into racing. So if that's the way to do it. Why not?
All right. Well, if it really does get more fans in racing, I'm all for it. Then how about that? So all right, guys, we're gonna wrap it up. But Tony Calderon of the Speed Group, thank you for filling in for the boys while everybody's out of town. And Jonathan Green's out there at the Toyota Racing Series, and he's gonna be out there for another month or so. So we're gonna cover that and talk about all the American drivers and everything else that's happening out there. And of course, Daytona coming up, so we're going to be talking about that as well. And check us out on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com. And you can also, a good way to follow us is on iTunes if you've got an iPhone. It's a great way to get all our shows, and of course our app. So thanks for tuning in to Speed City tonight, and we will talk to you next week.
The proceeding was a paid commercial program. Views and opinions expressed are those of the host or their guests and are not necessarily those of Talk 1370 or.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.